Hey, Corrine.
Hi, Teray.
We got great another show on BBS tonight with Angel Coaches. And why don't you tell everybody about it? What is it going to be about? Because I'm pretty enthused about what we're going to talk about after all the
Yes.
amounts.
The
I go. Okay.
Well, okay. So tonight's show is about, have you ever wondered, why the things in your life aren't happening right now, right? And you want them so bad, right? You need them so badly to happen. And it's exactly that. That's the key. So you think about all the things that you want in your life right now, and are they driven from a place of need or a desire? And what is the difference? And so tonight's show is about recognizing the difference between, whether or not your wishes and your aspirations and your goals are driven from a place of need or desire. So that's tonight's show. Thought-provoking, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And how do you, and when we leave the show tonight, I hope that people are really clear on that too as well, because it could be so frustrating and scary to be asking for something and praying for it and doing all the steps, that the law of attraction says, or even mantras or prayers that you read, that to get more money, to get the guy, to get the girl, to have better choices, do this. And then you're doing all of that, and it doesn't happen, right? And I know we talked to a lot of people, and that have different situations that like that, including you and I. You and I have come across in our own lives certain things that we, when we change just the way we process it, or really get clear, or ask to come from a place of desire rather than need, it changes the whole. The whole scheme, and we get what we're looking for, don't you think?
Right. We do everything. We follow the law of attraction and all of that, and we say our prayers. And sometimes the last remaining thing is just to kind of look at where your wishes are driven from, and really just be honest with yourself. Why do I want these things to happen? Is it because I need it to happen? Because I don't feel complete if it doesn't happen, or my life would only be better if I just had it? Because if that's the answer, then it's coming from a place of need. And if it's coming from a place of need, the energy, the primary energy that you're sending out with all these wishes and these prayers is of a low vibration. And what it does is it actually pushes against the flow of allowing it to arrive into your experience. But if you ask yourself, okay, is this wish, why do I want this to happen? And if your answer is that you truly know you don't need it to be better, you don't need it to feel more complete, and you're not desperate to have it, then it becomes a desire. Because a desire for something to have, a desire to want something to enter into your experience, it's coming from a place within the very center of your being, from that wholeness within your soul, of knowing that you desire this to happen because you know your soul will grow through this new experience. And it is driven from a place of inspiration rather than desperation. And that's the change that makes it all of a sudden the floodgates open, and you're actually in full alignment with allowing that vibration to enter into your experience.
That's cool. I agree with you on that 150%. And I know we talked to a few clients this week, and ourselves as well. You and I have been chatting back and forth about different areas in our own life. But I like to talk about desire and need. A lot of us date or have spouses, or or husbands, wives, whatever you want to call it. And if you're looking for that special someone, or you want that someone to change, to do something different because you're not happy in your relationship, how can you come from a place of desire rather than need? My own thought about that is to realize when you're thinking about this person, okay, and your every thought and your every waking moment, and people are saying, I don't do that. Well, if you're saying I don't do that, you probably do or have done, but when you're coming, when you think about that person, and when is he going to call, or when is she going to call, why aren't they in my life, what do I need to do? Do you see them? Do you feel them? Are they thinking about me? And I don't think are they thinking about me is an issue as much as are they going to come? When are they going to show up? And when you have you ever done that yourself, or we've had clients that have the, that are like that. So, Corinne, my question is how can you distinguish desire from need with a relationship or a pending relationship or someone that you want to be in a relationship with?
It is a need when it shows up inside of your mind as a, I need this person to call me or say these things to me so that I feel better about myself and I feel better about this relationship, to validate something within me that I am worthy or good enough of having this kind of affection or attention. Or I need this person to act this way so that our relationship can be better. I need this person to stop doing this or to start doing this so that we can have a relationship that is a better one. That's a need. A desire is when you say, I'm blessed by the experiences within our relationship and the challenges that we've had, and I've learned from them because I am not making anybody treat me a certain way, because we always are the masters of whatever we create in every relationship, right? But when you start to say, I've learned from these things, I've learned from the challenges, I've learned from the hardships, I've learned from this partnership with this person, and now I would like the opportunity to take what I've learned and create a new experience with this person in a new way. That is inspiration. That is desire.
Okay, I'm going to go with that. I agree with you. So let's talk about it a little bit different, too. Do you feel, and I know you do because we've chatted about this before, how to say this, that people that are calling that want this relationship, or they want this guy, or when is he going to call, or this woman, when is she going to be in my life? When they stop and they figure out maybe there's something within me that needs to be worked on, that's the reason why this person or this that I don't have relationship is not good. Do you think that when they stop and say, okay, I'd like to come from desire, and then show me what I need to do or what I need to be or what I need to work on, then it can change that way? Because what you said is great, okay? But I know from my own personal experiences and, you know, relationships that we've worked with people, because we have a lot of coaching sessions that we do. Do you agree with that, or how do you feel about that with, you know, what I just asked you?
Tariq, do you mind just repeating it just again, because your microphone cut off there for a little bit? So just in a nutshell, you just said.
Okay, sorry. When we come from a place, okay, what you said about desire and inspiration and desperation is wonderful, okay? But you know when you stop and you go, okay, there's something that I've got to work on within me. Changing the need is maybe one, but also maybe what else is there? Do you think that's also a key element in getting the relationship or finding out why you like this person or what makes you want him to be with you or her?
Absolutely. What you're saying is in total alignment with what I just said too, because that need, when something is a need, it means that you're projecting more on the other person, right? I need for this person to be this way. I need for this person to do that. I need for that to happen so that I can feel better, right? And what you're saying is so key. When it becomes a desire, then you start to look within yourself instead of having external resources validate that part of you that's missing. You start to look within yourself first. Okay, so if this isn't happening right now for me, what is it that I haven't learned? Because when something is not happening, it is basically the universe saying to you, you are missing the lesson. You are missing the lesson, and that is why it's not happening right now. There's something that you're missing here. So take another look right back at yourself and go within right now. It is because things don't happen unless we are completely ready for it. We can't trick ourselves. We can't trick ourselves into making something happen faster than when we are actually ready for it. And the universe and God knows better than we do. So if something's not happening, look inside and see, what is it that you can change about yourself right now? What is it that you're missing from this experience, right?
Right.
You know, to allow yourself to be in total alignment with allowing this to come into your experience. What is it that you're missing? Right. I completely agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. I like that, because most of the time we're going at warp speed and we're forgetting about our needs and our desires and what we think about what we want in our own life, you know, and man, when I got that about myself and some of the clients, it really helped. I have to tell you, it helped me just on a personal level, but also on a business level as well. And, you know, we're talking about relationships, but it also can be in business too, don't you think? When you start chasing money, rather than because you need money and you need this, you need the status symbols. You need to make money to get to the house, the whatever you're looking for, or to pay your bills. Because some of us are living in desperation rather than inspiration. How do you change that? What do you feel? I mean, we say meditation, which is pretty obvious. But let's say right tonight, anybody that's listening and they're like, well, I need a better job. I want a better job. What would be something that you would tell them? Because I know, and I'll share with you what I think as well.
Too. Well, why do you feel you need a better job, right?
Great answer.
Well, I mean, that's basically the question. I mean, I can give you one from my personal experience. When I was my last company, I remember my title was manager, and I remember, you know, just feeling like just really beaten down, and it was such a complex place to work, where you actually, I mean, every person that was in an executive position there was starting to question whether or not they could do the job, because nothing we did was right. And so we started to think, okay, wait, we went to school for this. We've been in this industry for a long time. Can we really do this? Because nothing I do is right. I mean, every one of my coworkers was saying the same thing. Like, our marketing director was saying the same thing to me. He said, I've been in this business for such a long time. Now I'm starting to question whether or not I can do this job, because am I really supposed to be doing it? I can't do anything right, right? So I remember thinking to myself, I want to get this promotion. I want to be director. So, you know, to tell myself that I can do this job, you know, that I can do this job. If I get this promotion, it's telling me that I'm doing the right thing, and that our president acknowledges that I'm doing good work here, and that I am actually qualified, if I can just get this promotion, right?
Wow.
When I was in that state of mind, I didn't get the promotion, and I didn't get it. And I remember I was in that kind of state of mind for the longest time, because it was driven from desperation. It was like, I know I can do this job. If I can only get this promotion, it'll prove that I can do it, and that, you know, that I'm qualified. When I actually realized where I was at, I changed that way of thinking. I said, you know what? No, I know I can do this job, but I know that I can do more when I get this promotion, because the position will allow me to be able to hire more people and think of more programs. It'll allow me more of more of an opportunity to do greater work. And when I changed that, I got the promotion. Because it no longer was driven from desperation, it was driven from inspiration of, you know what, I am qualified. And if I have the opportunity to get this promotion, then I can, it'll open up more, you know, and allow me to be a part of more meetings so that I can think of more ideas to help. And you know, so it was, I mean, that's just an example of inspiration versus desperation. So to answer your question, it would be to ask yourself, why do you want another job? Why do you want that promotion? Why do you, want to change careers, all of that?
So you're saying, and then I agree with you, the universe, the angels respond to, the universe responds to not what you say, but how you feel about what you say, right?
Right. Okay. And sometimes we don't even know it, you know? We don't even know that our wishes and our goals are driven from a need, you know? We don't know it. That's why you have to be honest with yourself when you're asking yourself this question. Where is this really coming from within myself? What is the vibration that I'm sending out? You know, because I know the vibration that I was sending out at that time was a place of lack. It absolutely was. And when I caught on to that, I changed it. I was like, oh my goodness, I've been perpetuating this.
That's good. I like that. Don't worry. Right. I'm joining you a few times, you know, instead of, I'll share this with you. I'll never forget, I've been seeing angels since I was three, and, you know, went to school and done all the things that you need to do, you know, as well. And I started a business, and I remember when I started chasing the money rather than why I was doing the business. I was in health and wellness, and that was a nudge for me to get out, right? And sometimes the universe will give you a big old swift kick, and the universe did that. but I remember getting into metaphysics and doing workshops full time and doing readings and doing the spiritual stuff that we all do. But I was still chasing the money because I was worried that the money wouldn't come. And I'll never forget when I just downshifted and I go, you know what? I was sitting in my the middle of my apartment wondering how I was going to get all my bills paid. And I go, this just is not working for me. This person did this, this person did this, and this person promised this. And I'm like, wait a minute, Tarie. And then I felt my higher self and my angel say, you know what? When you quit chasing money, you're going to be able to get to make things happen. And I go, okay, I'm going to quit chasing money. So for that one moment, I just said, okay, how many clients can I help today? And just for that split second, it turned around for me. And I remember just when I said, how many clients can I help today? And how many clients can I do a reading for today? And when I focused on that, you know what I mean, and sending out that vibration, I had two people call me. It wasn't a big deal, but what it did is it started to change. So then I started thinking about, instead of saying, how much money do I need to make my bills, I started saying, how many clients can I get? For somebody else, maybe it would be, you know, doing their passion. How many people can I help get refrigerators if they sell refrigerators? I mean, you can turn it around, whatever you need. But for me, what it was is, how many clients can I help today? And when I did that, it changed that vibration. And all you need is just a second, and it can change like that, you know?
Oh, wow. I love that. That really resonates with me. I love that. That's
yeah, it was mm-hmm. It was really, really helpful. Let's do this. Let's take some callers because I know we've got a few of them. Do you want to?
Sure. We've got a full line. That's right. So that's a good idea. All right. We've got Amy from Texas.
Amy. How are you?
Hi, Amy.
I'm good. I'm really good. That's anyway, funny that y'all were just talking. Y'all were just talking about the whole job thing because I haven't started actively looking for a job. It's been something that, you know, a year has gone, and it's the job that I have now, it's got me where I need to be, but I've been pondering that I just need to start looking for something more as far as full time. My kids have adjusted and so forth, but nevertheless, I went on an interview Wednesday, and I got a call today, and y'all would be very proud of me because I was. The gentleman called, and he just said, just want to tell you thank you for your time for interviewing. You interviewed very well, but we're just going to go a different direction. And instantly I felt, and even though the interview, I felt it was like, okay, this was good. But probably for the first time in a long time that I just went, it wasn't really going to maximize everything I can do within a corporation, a job, or a position of my skills and what I can do within an eight-hour day at any job working. And that's really been my desire, is I want to maximize what I know I can do, you know, which will make me happy. And in turn, hopefully, you know, do whatever position that I'm in, you know, just as much stress. So I related to that. This wasn't for me. And it's just opening the door and preparing me for the next, whatever position that might be in the time that it's about to come. And I know that's probably right around the corner. So I felt really good and at peace about it. I wasn't upset. I wasn't anything crazy. I just wanted to share that. But I was calling in because of another thing y'all wanted me to call in. So,
About the pay it forward. Tarie, you had said something really. Do you want to tell Amy now, or we can tell her next week what you said earlier?
Okay, yeah, Amy, we got your email about your situation regarding this new job, and I was sharing with Corrine what I felt when you were in our last session that we were doing with you, that you were caught up. I'm going to say it like this, but you know what I mean. You were really caught up in staying with your job, okay, your current job, and handling all the problems and feeling responsible for handling all that, those things, that it was hard for you to, that was a block almost, letting the new jobs coming in. So that's what I got, you know what I mean, for you. When you
and
move
you're
out
right.
of the way.
I feel like I have a responsibility.
Okay. And I'm not saying that you don't have a responsibility, but it's not solely on your shoulders. You're here to do what you do and move out of the way. this is not your ball game to fix. You're not here to fix all those situations going in. I want to be careful because I know that there's a lot of privacy stuff going on at your job now. It's not your responsibility. So when you move out of the way and just when you get off the phone with us, or even when you're on here right now, just let your angels know, you know what, this is not my responsibility, and just see a big boulder being moved, you know, and all the floodgates opening and letting everything flowing to you. Sometimes I like imagining water. So do that, because I think a big reason why this job wasn't given to you was because that your own blocks about feeling responsible and feeling like all the weight of that or all the responsibility from your job that you have now is on your shoulders, and it's up to you to fix it, because it's not.
Okay. You're right. Okay. I just feel like, oh my God, if I were to leave, who's going to do this? You know? And I'm having to learn to let go of that. I'm doing this, okay, and it can be done. And so thank you.
No, you're beautiful, and I know that a lot of times to get you where you're in a great mode of desiring rather than needing, you is about about giving. So share with everyone what you did, because of your story, I did the same thing today. So share.
Cool. Well, I guess a week ago, Tree was speaking with me and having to lay down the law sometimes, but she can. Some great ideas, and it's sort of funny because she was telling me to go to Starbucks and just buy the person behind me a cup of coffee. And I've done that in various situations in my life, and whether I bought someone, helped someone, you know, I've been in a grocery store and I've seen a mom and, you know, digging for that extra $5, $10, and I bought it. And so I think it was also, I've looked back and it's reminded me of other various things that I've done. And so nevertheless, you my daughter and I have a girl weekend. My son ended up going away for the weekend with one of his friends. And so here I'm on this mission to, you know, do what Teresa said. Just do it. Just try it. See how you feel. Just, you know, it's not going to hurt nothing. You don't have to, like, $1 million. So we're at McDonald's, and I'm in McDonald's, and it's Friday night, and it's sort of kind of amazing. It's like nobody's at McDonald's. So it's I go through and pay, get my stuff, and it's like I can't buy someone's food behind me. So I stop and I'm like, well, Tree said go to Starbucks. So I'm like, okay, I guess it has to be Starbucks. I was just going to deviate and go, I'm here at McDonald's. Can I do it at McDonald's? Nevertheless, we couldn't do it at McDonald's. There was nobody ever behind us, which is amazing. So we had a program to go to afterwards. My daughter and I were going to Starbucks. She wanted to go to Starbucks. So we go to Starbucks, same thing, 10 o'clock on a Friday night, and it's like, really, nobody's at Starbucks. So at first I was like, this is really funny, Tree. Nice joke. And so as we're waiting for our coffee to be made, a car pulls up. So I'm telling my daughter what we're going to do. And so I hand the gentleman my debit card, and I tell him we'd like to buy the person behind us their, you know, their coffee. And he, you know, said, okay, the other gentleman's bringing our coffees. And he comes back and brings me my debit card, and he says, Starbucks would like to buy your coffee and the car behind you.
Oh, and that's a wonderful
first, it was awesome, but at first I have to admit, I was like, wait a minute, I'm blushing. So it was really funny, but then it's like in the moment, it also gave me the opportunity to talk with my daughter, because she went, well, Mom, you know, we didn't get to buy their coffee. And I was just talking about, you know, being a blessing to somebody else. And so it opened up the opportunity for me to, and for her to also see that when you even try to bless somebody and without even knowing, you end up getting more blessed than what you thought you were going to be a blessing to that person or situation. And so that was an interesting, you know, situation for us. And I was very thankful that I had that, because it's hard to teach your children various things in life, especially about giving, without having opportunities like that. And it extended over into Saturday. We had a, you know, sleeping over and waking up in the morning and teasing her that she's only seven, so I'm teasing her. It's her turn to cook breakfast, and so she's smart as a whip. And so, long story short, she says it was that she was going to cook breakfast, but I had to drive. So, nevertheless, we're going to drive-thru Taco Cabana, and we're in the drive-thru, and she says, Mom, let's go to Starbucks, and maybe we can buy someone's coffee. Try to buy someone's coffee. And it was just so neat that here she woke up, you know, 10, 12 hours later, and remembered and had the desire to do it. So, of course, we're going to do it. So, and then, of course, on the Saturday morning, Starbucks has a line. So we were able to do it and, you know, did the same thing, gave the gentleman my card and told him we wanted to buy the gentleman, you know, the person behind us and stuff. And it was really funny because my daughter and I, we just got little calls and it was like $7 and something. And he says, the gentleman at the window says, are you sure? He got a grande and it's like $8. And it was funny. My daughter put two and two, like, Mom, we got two things for $7. He's only getting one thing for $8. So then it was like another opportunity to go, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what we were doing. And so it was neat. And the gentleman also asked me, you know, what do I tell him? And I said, just tell him he's welcome and to pay it forward. And so
wonderful.
It was a really neat, and it set the pace from Friday through our weekend that my daughter and I were just able to enjoy a wonderful weekend of just being blessed and knowing that we were out there being a blessing. And it was a great, great feeling.
Oh.
Amy, I think that's wonderful. And really quickly, I just got a message from an angel, one of your angels. She said, make sure you let Amy know, coming from need, like needing to make things straight, and your desire, by really desiring another job, has really affected this job. You're going to get more opportunities, okay? So just know that. Need and desire. You desire to have another job, but you need to make things better, correct, and feeling responsible for everyone at your old job, the one that you're getting ready to leave, affected the interview process with this new job. So just keep that in mind. And your angel said, the next one you'll get because you learned a great lesson. And so how cool is that? Now, I want to share something with you, if it's so. Yeah, right? I am super, can be super shy, believe it or not. So I was in Dunkin' Donuts, and I go, if Amy can do this standing in line, I'm going to do it. Because usually what my daughter and I have done, or I've done by myself, is we'll do it and say, hey, just tell that person to pay it forward or have a great holiday or whatever. So I'm standing beside this guy, and he's an old burly man, okay? Not happy at all. I was like, man, I'm going to do this. And I looked at him. I go, I'm going to buy your coffee and I'm going to buy your donut today. And he goes, what do you want? I'm like, absolutely not. I'm like, oh, man. You know, the people behind me and the guy in front of me, I was like, oh, this is so hard. And he goes, what do you want? I go, absolutely nothing. And Kareem, this is the first time you've heard about it. I said, I'd just like to do it. Have a happy holiday. And so he took it and he looked at me. He goes, Merry Christmas. I was like, yeah. So it was, but you inspired me to do it, you know, in front of, you know, someone instead of just, you know, doing it in the pay through or drive through window. So thank you. Anyway, and you got a guy, the guy got a free donut and a cup of coffee, and he was quite happy. So,
and a great story that I'll be talking about for a while.
There you go. So anyway, old burly man. I was like, oh man, I couldn't have a hot, sexy looking guy. I had to have the old burly man. So anyway. No discrimination.
Not if he's eating donuts either.
Yeah, right. Anyway, thank you for your story and have a great night. Okay. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Anyway, Corinne, oh, that was so difficult, but hey. Anyway, you know, you just do it. Yeah, right? So we got another caller. Who's next?
We do. We've got Teresa from New Jersey.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Good. We got your email. This is Teresa from New Jersey. But I understand what you're getting ready to say. Teresa, really, I know you sent an email to us with some questions. So why don't you, we'd like to address one of the questions because I know you had a yearly reading. Okay, so let's talk about it really quick because we've got a couple other callers waiting. Your question was about being a victim. You didn't feel that applied to you, right?
Right.
Okay. And Corinne, you and I both we discussed it, so we wanted to make sure we answered your questions. So let's talk about it. Right. Corinne, what do you have to say about the being a victim and
'cause, Teresa, do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I don't think we have the same definition for that word. I've noticed that we speak different languages, not because of, you know, who we are, but just where we come from or, you know, backgrounds and, you know, just our upbringing. So sometimes your definition might be a little off from mine.
There's only one definition for victim, and it's universal. Everyone knows what a victim means. Now, I'm asking you if you still feel the same way, because in the email that you wrote to us, which is so great because you're researching, grounding and all that. Did you read that email? Because what number was this? I can't remember. There was 10 different steps to grounding. And
yes.
One of the numbers in there says, do not blame others. I'm going to pull it up right now because it says, you're listing out 10 steps for grounding. Now, number 9 is stop blaming others for your problems. You sent this. You sent this to us,
mm-hmm.
as
yes.
in the 10
yes.
steps that you're going to do for grounding, that when blaming others for your problems is a victim mentality.
Okay, Kim, I mean, Teresa, let's go back to last night, and I'm going to talk about another call that we had here, because you're a great psychic, and you've got a lot of gifts, and this is a great year for you. So we want, and you have allowed us to be really open, and thank you for sharing your story. One of the things that you had said about when you were asking about your husband is you go, well, he does this and he blames me for this and he causes me to do this and he and this and this and this. And there was about 3 things there. And my statement to you is take responsibility. You create everything you experience. That is what we're talking about. Not us, but your angels had talked to us about you. Okay. This was something that we needed to be extremely clear with you about, or they needed to. Mm-hmm. There was an instant a couple weeks ago where you called us and you said, this lady does this to me and I just want to shake her. And that's what we're talking about. When you're looking at someone else that causes you, that you feel that they do something to you that causes you discomfort, I want you to remember this, and this is so clear. The only thing they do is mirror something back to you that you need to heal in yourself. I get where you're coming from because we've all done this. I personally think that my ex is the Antichrist, right? But he's not. He only mirrored the Antichrist that's inside of me. I'm teasing a little bit. Okay? So, and when you get that, you cause and create everything, then you can create this amazing world, which you're in the process of doing. That's what we're talking about, being a victim. No one does anything to you. Take responsibility for everything you create. And your husband, the lady at the school that caused you grief before, she didn't cause you anything. She just mirrored something inside of you that needs to be healed. Okay?
And Oprah says it a really great way. She even says, and so, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's not, the definition is the same. Because even Oprah Winfrey is saying this. She is saying that when you are faced with a challenging relationship, for example, like when your husband does something to you that causes you to get angry or causes you to feel victimized or causes you to feel blamed or at fault for things or guilty or whatever, she says, and I've read this in numerous books too, okay, and I feel this within the core of my soul, and it's something that we always overlook in our relationships with people, is that when they do something that causes us discomfort within ourselves, it is never anything that they are specifically doing. It is not the act, and it is not them. What they are doing is reminding you and allowing emotions to resurface within you that already existed before that person was even in your life, okay? It's so key because a lot of times we want to blame the other person. They did this to us. They did that to us. They made me feel this way. No, no, no. Nobody made you feel any way. You are only feeling this way because of something that already existed within you. And this person is now a tool to help you recognize it and heal it. So key. It's something that was a hard lesson for me to learn too. I mean, I it's a tough one. It's a real tough one. Because you always want to say, no, 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 it's the person's act that made me feel this way. It's nothing to do with what they've done or said.
It's your stuff that you can...
Yeah, Tariq told me that same thing, too. If you're feeling angry, yeah. I mean, you've helped me with that one, too. If you're feeling angry or anything, it's nothing that person has done to make you angry. That anger existed within you before that person was in your life.
Teresa, I want you to think about that because I've had issues with that, and Oprah said the same thing. She's had issues herself about being the victim, but that's what your angels are talking about, the victim role. And is this resonating with you at all?
I guess I have to really think about it because I think maybe when I describe something, I don't explain it clearly. That's probably one of my – I think that's where that – I need to put cement on my cracks. I need to, you know, I need that thing because that statement keeps going through my mind that I need to seal my cracks. And
well, that's okay too. You need to seal your cracks, but you are responsible for everything in your life. Only you.
I'm responsible for lashing back out. Mm-hmm.
Your husband is as well for his stuff. So anytime he blames you, calls you the hurricane, it's just his own hurricane inside of him. Okay? So just know that. What's your question?
I wanted to just reaffirm the story of desire versus need. Like I mentioned last night or yesterday, I've always been good with numbers, and I love numbers. My desire for numbers has led my career to go from being a regular accountant, accounts payable to accounts receivable to an accountant, tax accountant to portfolio manager, and I've never needed the money. I just love numbers, and my desire for numbers, and my desire to teach people how to balance checkbook, how to manage their money, how to live within your means, look at your money, look at your expenses, try to save, has allowed me to prosper in my careers. Could I go back to being an accountant or a manager? Yeah, I can. But now my desire is to take my mathematical skills and put it into a more creative aspect. And now I translate that into my eBay and into my baking, because baking is all mathematics and chemistry.
Remember,
you've got Toth, who works with sacred geometry. So you've got a lot of angels and ascended masters working with you, Teresa. What a wonderful year you're going to have, okay? So remember,
it's all about Hermes. Do you know that? Toth is known as Hermes in more popular cultures.
Wow. I didn't know that. Well, there you go. That you have dreams about Hermes. Good deal. Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So
I've been doing a lot of research on it, and I've also noticed that I passively ground myself.
Well, I tell you what, you just make sure you're grounded, and that works too. So thank you for sharing that about Toth. We didn't know that. How cool is that, Karee?
Thank you for the story about the math in your life and how it's kind of allowed you to progress effortlessly because of your desire. That's a great story. Thank you.
Yeah, because when I talk to you guys about money, I'm never desperate about it. Like you said, I never chase the money. I know I'm going to have it. How it comes to me, you know, and I know I have assistance because I make it work. Like you guys said, an action and how do we say it? You know, an object in motion remains in motion. You know, I'm always thriving and, you know, trying to make my life comfortable. Not that I need it to be, you know, I'm happy. I have a house. I have my children. I have a roof over my head. I have food. I'm happy. But, you know, if anything else comes with it, I'm even more grateful and more happier because I can now provide more stability in my children's lives. And I thank you guys for that. Every time we have conversations or have our weekly calls, you know, you reiterate that the gratitude of the universe and God and our oneness to, you know, that He's always out there to help us.
That's wonderful.
And that's what I love.
Thank you, Teresa.
That was very inspiring.
All right, thank you.
We love you.
We love you too.
All right,
take care. Okay, and you have a great weekend.
All right, take care, honey. We talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Thank you, Teresa. Bye. Well, that was really inspiring. I like that story. I like that. See, that was a great example of turning your needs into desires, because what she just said was so key. If anything else comes along, then I'm grateful for it because I can provide more for my children. That's a desire, not I need more money or I need this so that I can do these things. The way she just verbalized it was really great. That was wonderful.
She's got a great story with it being a mom with kids and juggling about 20 balls in the air. She's a great juggler. I love her. She's a good one. And got those gifts too as well. So it'll be exciting to hear from her in the future. I think we got another caller.
We do. We have Kim. And Kim, so sorry. So sorry. You were second in line and I missed that on the queue. So sorry about that. Thank you for waiting.
Hi, Kim. Maybe she didn't wait. Kim?
Oh, she didn't wait then? Oh, my goodness. That's my fault. I'm so sorry. Oh, I saw her in the queue as number two, and I missed that. I'm sorry. All right. Well, hopefully she's listening. She'll call back in.
Yeah, she's got a great story. And, boy, she's had some real realizations about need and need and desire. I want to share this with you. You know, we did her yearly reading the other day, and she got, with just changing – Well, you know what? I hope it's okay. And she said that we could share it. She's, you know, starting her modeling career, and we told her, said, well, one of the reasons why it's not happening quicker is that you need this to happen rather than just desiring it to. So when she started doing the little mantras and the, you know, the meditations, she just got her first call today. So just
wonderful.
To let you know.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great. See, just like what you were saying earlier, it can change in a second. When you get this, it can change in a second. And that's exactly what happened. That's wonderful.
So I know that you had really worked with her, or we both had, but you had said some things to her. So she took it, used it, and now she's getting her first job. Her biggest dilemma is now not when the job's coming, but how does she juggle her job with where she's working at now? Because she's trying to work that out. And I was like, wow, how cool is that? You know,
that's a good predicament to be in.
Yeah, right.
So you've got so many jobs, you don't know which one to do first.
Right? You can never be too rich or too thin or too much love. That's what I said.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's great news. Oh, wow.
I have a question for you, okay? And I told you I would share this on the show because I've not talked to you about this at all. Okay. When you know that I'm working on releasing my diabetes. So let me ask you a question. What do you feel has been the biggest holdup? Because it's leaving now and I feel it, but need and desire, how does that work if somebody's got an illness or a condition like diabetes, epilepsy, or maybe a strained shoulder? How do you come from desire versus need? Okay, so can I ask you that in regarding my own diabetes? I have some ideas, but I want to hear what you had to say because you've helped me with this so much, given me a lot of clarity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think yours is specific because yours is, your illness is whenever I tap into it, I don't even feel that you even have it. That's the one thing. I don't even feel that as a part of your being. And it's carried through from a past life. So it's always a strange situation for me when I'm tuning into you because I got to really search for it. And, because it's not a part of you, but a need for you, you understand, you know, the lesson behind it because all of our, if you want to call them ailments or illnesses or whatever, are always manifested from an emotional place, right? Or a spiritual place, right? They don't just happen for no reason. So for you, it's just the recognition of what are the lessons that you're supposed to learn that are in line with this illness, and for you, it's like for any illness, I guess, it's like when you're trying to heal yourself from something, right?
Right.
Or for example. There was that, what was it? I think it was called In the Secret. We had talked about this before. The woman that had cancer and she cured herself from cancer. And Kim, we know you're back. We'll give you just a couple minutes here.
I'm so glad.
I know. She had cancer. She was diagnosed with breast cancer and in 3 months she was able to eliminate it. She no longer had it. And it was because she was able to kind of put her vibration in the place of not already having it. She didn't tell herself that she needed to get rid of it. She just desired her body to be the healthiest way possible. And she would tell herself every day, she would put her place in a place of gratitude. Every day she would say, I'm grateful for the healthy body that I have. I'm grateful that I can enjoy my time with my husband and with my children. She put herself in a place of gratitude and a desiring to only experience more health within her body. If she put herself in a place of need, she would have been saying to herself, I need to get rid of this cancer. I need for this to leave my body. I need for this to go away so that I can feel healthier. That was the difference. She just desired to experience more of a healthy body. And every day she did this. And in 3 months, she got rid of her cancer.
That's amazing. I know with my diabetes, I used to feel from a place of need that if I didn't release my diabetes or it always stayed with me, that I always felt less than, that I was less than anyone else. And that when I worked on that, Corrine, but I changed that, then it gave me a lot of freedom. But one of the things that I really realized is that I totally had to accept it before I could change it. You know what I mean? And does that make sense?
So mm-hmm. I hope that it does because it's in line with the life lesson that you're learning. You see, You see how it's coming into play with like the sense of worthiness, right?
Right.
I hope I'm okay with saying that. Yeah. So because you felt having this, the diabetes made you feel less than, right? You're less than, and you've learned it, and you are learning it in many different ways, is that it doesn't matter what somebody says to you or what illness you have, right? Or how somebody treats you, that you are already good enough. You're already worthy of it.
Right. Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's been really key. Let's talk to Kim because she's amazing, and I'm glad we got to share her story. So hi, Kim.
Hi, Kim.
How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, 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 yes. Okay. I hope you didn't mind we shared your story about getting your job offer there for your modeling. So you know, we
oh yeah, but I had to turn it down. Can you believe it? So I'm just at first I was bummed out, then I just thought, you know, it's not meant to be right now.
Well, you know what? We gave a little plug about you being a model, and you're beautiful. So, anyway, so if anybody wants to hire you, you're available for hire within reason,
well,
right? So
this was going to be a really cool thing. This is doing a commercial as a flight attendant.
Ah, nice.
So
here
I was going to get to be a flight attendant for a day. You know, my dream. You know, my make-believe job.
Get to travel the world. There you go. That's cool.
Yeah, but anyway. I had to turn it down, unfortunately.
I understand.
I couldn't get someone to, you know, cover me at work.
Well, you know what I love, though, Kim, is, and this is really key. Before, you didn't think you were ever going to get the job, and now you get to turn the job down. Whatever reason, that's saying a lot about your desire and need. Okay, so great lesson there. So thank you for sharing that with us, or with me, and we got to share it tonight on the call. I know you have a question. What's your question?
Yeah, I do, but before I gotta say this one thing. I don't know if it will help anybody. Maybe it will help you guys. Like from the when you were talking about coming place from a need or desire, when somebody wants to know when is he going to call, when am I going to hear from him? Sometimes it's, at least for me, I don't know how anyone else feels, but for me, it's not like is he going to call Tuesday at 10 o'clock. It's more of just the comfort of knowing, okay, eventually you will get some contact from him. It's just that it takes off the edge, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Okay.
No matter
so you
what,
want to
no
know
matter,
they...
no matter what the no matter what the answer is, if you know, even if you say, you know, he's not going to call you, you know, at least you know. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it was just my thought.
Well, thank you for sharing, because I know that one of the things, you're going through a lot of change right now in how you view relationships and how the relationship of your dreams you want to show up for you. So for you, instead of, is he going to call me to make me feel like I'm worthy or I got his attention, it's more like I want him to call so I can set him straight of what kind of relationship I'd like, right?
Right, 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 right.
Cool. Can I ask you a question? Do you feel comfortable sharing with people about how you're doing that, or is that?
I don't have anything to hide, and if it will help someone, it will help someone. And someone's probably going to think I'm just crazy, but you know, I've learned a lot of hard lessons the hard way.
Well, share because that would help.
Over and over. The hardest lesson I've had to learn is to let things go. Not with money, although I welcome any money and I always need it, but I don't go chasing it. I don't know why. Chase men, or I used to, but I have never chased money. And aww. I always know that money is going to come my way because of the signs that I get from the angels. And I always know when I see a sequence of sevens, always I'm going to get something unexpectedly soon, like clockwork. It's never failed, ever, ever, ever.
Let me ask you a question. If a woman is looking for a relationship and the man is just being really casual, what would you suggest that she do? Because I know that's been some things that you're doing, learned to do, and you're living your life with that philosophy. What would you recommend that she do? Or a man as well.
What I would recommend and what I probably would do are probably two different things. I mean, I know what the correct answer is because I'm you know, I know. I mean, walk the other way. Turn your back and walk the other way.
But I know that you've also been really clear about the men in your life when you're dating and they want something more casual and you're looking for something more significant.
And I just, you know, mm-hmm. I took your cue and I sent my friend a message last night that said, you know, that person is gone. She crashed and burned. You're never going to see her again. So those were the exact words.
That's cool. I like that. Well, you also know that the only way you're showing him how to treat you in a relationship, so it'll be interesting to see.
He did not respond, by the way, yeah.
Not yet, and I don't see him doing that because he doesn't know how to respond to you, this new Kim that is like, I want a guy that's going to treat me a certain way and be a certain way. And by the way, not only guys, women do that with guys, but men do that with women as well. We want, you know, we want a woman to treat me this way. So it works both ways. But I don't believe that he knows how to respond and needs to think about that. And you're showing him how to treat you in a relationship because he does care about you. And we chatted about that as well. And so it'll be interesting to see over the next month or so what happens. So, but keep us posted. What's your question?
Well, I mean, you basically just answered it. Just, you know, what is he thinking right now after reading that message that I sent him?
I told you what I thought, but Corinne she always has something to share too as well. So, Corinne, what do you feel?
Exactly what you just said. He doesn't know how to respond. And you caught him off guard. He gets what you mean, though, and he just doesn't know how to respond. I feel I'm questioning this and going, okay, what now?
Like scratching his head, right?
I'm sorry?
Like scratching his head going, what did she just say?
Yes, yeah. Like he got the message, but you caught him off guard with it. And I feel him asking himself, what now? What now? What do I do now? That's what he's saying. What now? What now? That's what he's saying. But, you know, and it's okay because, you know, the message went through crystal clear to him. He knows he cannot go that route anymore with you. There's no more
and
of that.
I spelled it out, you know, I spelled it out really clearly because I was in, you know, a bad space and I didn't want him to think that he could just keep creeping back in like he has been.
Oh, Kim, that's really good. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, for anybody that's listening, Kim has really worked hard on herself, and it's really about working hard on herself and working to change some of the old things that have worked that she's wanted to change to get the results that she's getting now in relationships, and most of all for herself. That's a good thing. I know you've struggled, and you have bad days, or you have bad moments, but you know what? Basically, you're pretty happy, and that's something I've noticed about you. So kudos to you on that, Kim. I know you've done a lot of growth. Anyway, we've got about another minute. Kim, we're going to have to go, but thank you for calling, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Keep us posted, okay?
Okay, talk to you guys soon.
Okay, all right,
bye, Kim.
Okay, bye.
We've got about another 30 seconds, Corinne. So, Corinne, we have angelcoaches.com where you can find out about how to get a yearly reading or any kind of reading with us. But our yearly readings are extremely powerful and get a lot of information there because we take it month by month in most situations. And we have a manifesting call and lots of classes coming out. We're getting ready to launch a big one in January. So we'll be sending out the emails. But if you want to know anything about what we do and who we are, go to angelcoaches.com. Right, Kareem?
Right. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.